Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome, Chatterboxers, to another fantastic week of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show here on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. My name is Alon. Next to me is...
My name is Ara.
And across from me is...
My name's Rich.
Rich. He is our senior investigative reporter of crap that people don't care about. And sitting with us today, and we're going to talk a little bit about a lot of things today.
Dude, I got to thank you for bringing these donuts in.
The donuts that made you stop your diet?
Well, I really appreciate it, especially like when I just started my super ultra, you know, bodybuilding diet.
Ara is a bit of a bodybuilder.
So I aspire to be.
I hope that you don't turn into someone who would kill yourself and your whole family, though.
What, like Chris Benoit?
Yeah, is that you were telling us in the break that there's a professional wrestler?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm more of kind of like an Eddie Guerrero.
You know, okay.
I'll just kill myself through drugs and excessive steroid use and not, you know, impose that on my family.
Rather than killing your whole family. Do we have any info on
why
how he
talking about this?
Well, it's...
Because he was talking about it before the break.
Look, there's a wrestling game. Wrestling, it's related to games, all right? So, I don't know. It was like, I don't know what the latest news is, but I think that, you know, the things, when it just got reported, it was like, well, they're investigating it as a suicide homicide. Other rumors that people have heard are like, well, there's some kind of reports of carbon monoxide. So I don't know. Maybe Chris Benoit is a family man and his wife and kids just suffocated themselves and then he couldn't bear to see it and then he killed himself. Or I also heard something else about like strangle marks. So maybe he's just a bloodthirsty killer.
This just in, there were lots of video games in the house, and they think that it was all video game-related violence that caused it all.
Clearly.
Yes, don't you think?
You know what? It's video games and working out. So, guys, whatever you do, don't play video games and work out.
No, be a slob and only do that in public where there are no video games.
Because then you'll have to, you know, resort to using, you know, like weapons to kill people instead of your bare hands.
Now, I can't confirm, but Easy Money 2010 in our live chat says Chris committed suicide, strangled his wife, and smothered his child. I can only assume it's not in that order. Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. That's the, I don't know. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, maybe carbon monoxide, and he just, you know, thought, I can't live anymore.
That would be a noble
There's
death.
No explanation for how he killed himself, though. I assume it was a gun.
I don't know. I did hear, actually, no. Okay, and now maybe I did hear something else about a suicide note or something. So.
All right, you know what? This topic is definitely not interesting enough for me to keep going. We'll talk about that during the break. Okay, so we talked about Manhunt a lot last week. And a lot of stuff, of course, like the news had just broken before the show, and then right after the show, of course, there's a lot more. So we'll cover some of the happenings in just a minute. I also want to talk about PAX. I've solidified the Chatterbox plans and my plans for another event that will happen at PAX this year, and we've now we've reached the 60-day mark. There's now less than 60 days before the Penny Arcade Expo.
Wow.
So I know that I'm going.
Yeah.
And I believe that you're going, Rich.
I am.
And do you think, now that you have sat in with us here on Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show a couple times, do you think that you feel you represent more of the Chatterbox side or maybe Destructoid? Because I know you're a big fan of the Destructoid.
I think it's a tough call.
You know what that means.
I think he can't make the call in front of us because he knows it's Detoid.
I think it's, you know, I think you got it.
So am I fired now?
Yeah, it's total fired, dude.
Just like Ara was last week. So we're gonna have an event, the Chatterbox Treasure Box. This is the third time we will be doing the Chatterbox Treasure Box at PAX. Now, in the past, we have gone to contestants or to groups of people at PAX when there were lines, because there's often large lines there. Any large group of people, I would approach them and have a, you know, a set of questions in hand and say, hey, anybody, who can answer these questions? Because I, you know, the Chatterbox Treasure Box, it's Jeopardy style, lots of trivia. It's not exactly easy, so I need people who know what they're talking about. and people submit a bunch of answers to me, and I try to weed through the people who don't know what they're talking about and pick up some good ones. Now, unfortunately, last year, it was a lopsided event. One guy knew way more than the other two guys, and although I think it was a good event, it could have been more exciting if there was more competition.
Did you notice, like, an earpiece in his ear or anything like that? Like,
no, he just knew what he was doing. So we're asking the rest of the world now, people who are listening to this show and people who are Destructoid fans, we want to pick you ahead of time. I'm going to pick someone from PAX, live from PAX. I don't know how I'm going to pick them yet. We're going to find a way. It'll probably be similar to how we pick our Chatterbox representative. But here's how it's going to work. And there's some logistics of the game part that I haven't figured out either yet, but because we're changing things up a little bit this year. But essentially, we need three contestants. I've asked the good old Destructoid team, because I know that Rich is a huge, huge fan.
Indeed.
And will really do anything to just get near another Destructoid fan. And so I want to give him that opportunity. So we're going to have a Destructoid representative. However they choose to choose their representative, I don't care. But hopefully someone from the Destructoid community will step up, know their stuff, get on stage, and act as their trivia master. And we're going to pick one here from Chatterbox over the course of the next month and a half, hopefully. We're going to figure out how we will select a Chatterbox representative. So on the stage, we'll have the Chatterbox rep, and we'll have the people who are fans of Chatterbox sitting in, you know, an area designated for that group. Same with Destructoid. We'll have their representative, however they choose to determine who that will be, along with their cheerleaders. Something tells me it might be a larger group than the Chatterbox group, but let's hope. Let's hope that people listening to this show want to step up and fill the chairs. And then we're going to have the other ones, just the Penny Arcade noobs who haven't heard of Chatterbox or care to associate themselves with Destructoid. Maybe it'll be joystick people just to oppose. so we'll have them. And in the past, we've had questions go to the audience. Or not to the audience, to the contestants. And then when the contestants can't answer them, they go to the audience. So I'm thinking what we might do, we might work in a lifeline kind of situation, or just when they can't get it, it goes to their team. And then one of the people from their team gets to try and answer it. And then they win prizes. So for those who aren't familiar with how Chatterbox Treasure Box works, Jeopardy-style gaming, and then you win stuff. And you don't have to be on stage. We give lots of prizes, but even if you're in the audience, if you can answer questions, you win stuff. And we gave away like 14 or 15 Nintendo DS lights with Star Fox that wasn't even released at the time last year.
It was only 14? I thought it was like 86 or something like that.
They gave us a lot.
Well, okay. Elon kept about 60 of them.
So. Oh, yeah. That's what it was.
Well, I sold them on eBay. I had to make some money for the trip. So that's not true at all. We had a lot of stuff thanks to Penny Arcade. They provided a lot of the Nintendo gear. Nintendo was nice enough to give it to them, and they in turn gave it to us to give away at the Chatterbox Treasure Box. So I want people to... I'm thinking I want to get some ideas for how we should select the Treasure Box contestant from Chatterbox. Do you guys have any ideas?
Well, you know who my vote's for, and I don't even know if he's going.
Penn 15?
I don't know.
Yes, good guess.
Penn 15. Just because of his name.
Penn, you're on the... He's in the chat.
What do you say, Penn 15?
I think we need to have...
Where the 5 resembles very much an S.
I want to have maybe a more scientific method of choosing these people, or even more random, but someone who will be effective and maybe not just our personal favorite.
Everybody in the IRC.
Well, you know...
I'm surprised to hear that he's your personal favorite.
Well, you know, my means of selection are purely scientific.
Well, we could just have him guess a number between 1 and 10, and whoever's closest to the number of Alon's choosing wins.
No. See,
is
the
that
whole
scientific?
The whole point is to choose someone
Rock,
who
paper,
knows,
scissors?
Knows what they're talking about in video game trivia. My hope is it'll be someone at least over the age of 20, hopefully over 25, because that's where the questions come from, my brain, and it's over 25.
Actually, I have an idea, but why don't we see what it is after we come back?
All right, so we'll talk about this after break. We're also going to talk about Manhunt, and also Tips and Tricks is dissolving. And our very own Aura, the S-bomb, Sharinian, used to write for Tips and Tricks for 4 years. So I think we'll talk about
four
that.
4 long years.
We'll be back after the break.
Welcome back! This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Ara.
And I'm Alon.
And I'm Rich. Still here.
And we make up your triple A or a double A and an R.
Well, you know, he has a brother.
Radio cast.
Whose name starts
evening.
With A. So we can just pretend that he is.
Okay, so we're just going to call you a Rich.
Yes. All right, now, Chatterbox comes at you. Care of the wonderful sponsorship of the University of Advancing Technology. You can go to uat.edu to learn more about that university where Rich actually attends. I attended. Ara wishes he attended and did not.
Not really, but for the sake of dramatization, I'll accept it.
Okay, there we go. So anyway, uat.edu, go check it out if you're interested in getting in the game industry. People actually do it. I have friends who have done it. It's crazy.
And you can do it too.
Back in the day, I was a kid. I thought, how do you get into the industry? That might be.
And if you're not prepared to work your brains out for years and years, don't even try. Just go do something else. Try to play football or whatever.
Yeah. you think you might have a better chance?
Get into pro wrestling. You'd have a better chance.
Only if you're suicidal. So
exactly.
We were just talking about Panera Arcade Expo and how
we
think.
Yeah, so I got an idea of how we can recruit some contestants.
Okay, let's throw it out there.
Okay, so what I think we should do is... anyone who's listening, if you're interested, just give us an email, and then we will, out of this vast pool of replies that we will undoubtedly receive, I think we'll just use some screening methods to whittle them down to...
I think my curiosity is the screening method.
Maybe we can...
We need someone who already knows they're going, right? Like, if you haven't bought your ticket yet to go to Seattle...
Right, we're not
going
to pay for you to go.
I don't want to talk to you. So if you're going to be there and you listen to the show, first of all, let us know. And, we'll probably do some sort of like tryout fake or prep game on the air where I'll get some questions we've used, in the past.
Actually, you know what?
That's what I was just going to suggest, actually.
If you're listening now and you think you have what it takes, I think you should call in.
Don't do that, dude. I'm totally not prepared.
Dude, I'll do it. You should call in.
We can make up a question.
Dude, I've got, look. Especially if you resemble Gary Busey in any way. That's definitely a plus. But if you're interested, you should call us at 866-536-1100. And I don't know, I guess depending on Alon's mood, we may or may not take your call.
Well, I want to prep some questions. In the past, we've had people, like I've gotten a hold of them over, I don't know, instant message or something, and I've asked them some questions. But I think maybe if we do a live one on the air with a few contestants that I'm able to weed out through email first... Then we could figure it out.
Well, we could totally do that too. But you know that I'll do anything to get people to call in.
Remember that most of our listeners are podcast listeners, and so I want them to hear this, and they're not hearing it while we talk. So.
All right, all you guys. I know that there's at least like 30 of you right now that are like totally high on amphetamines listening live. So like, you know, stop going through your dumpster that you've been going through for 20 hours, and you know, just give us a call
while listening to the radio on your MP3 player that. Plays the radio.
Yes, all right. Exactly.
Let's move forward and talk about a topic that's actually interesting. But if you do have any ideas, if you want to be part of it, at very least, send us an email. And you can find that at chatterboxgameshow.com. You can find a way to contact us or do it right from the website. Send us an email letting us know that you are going to be at PAX for sure, yo, and want to be part of it. So then we can maybe get you on stage and give you some prizes. Just make sure you actually know some video game trivia. And hopefully you're not 15, because I ask questions that... require you to be older than that.
Is Penn 15 years old?
Don't embarrass the Chatterbox community.
Well, we need
please.
To represent. We're going up against Detoid.
I
mean,
it's going to be tough.
There's going to be a trophy in your mind that you'll get to keep if you if you're the winner.
Actually,
I mean, the first place winner last year got like $1,000 in prizes.
That's sweet, dude.
Yeah. So, all right. End of that. Let's move on.
All right. I want to talk about tips and tricks.
Let's do
it. Okay. I can see that you're reading a magazine that's not Tips and Tricks. So let's discuss Tips and Tricks. To cover the basics here, everybody's getting fired. All the Tips and Tricks people, they're, I guess, dissolving the magazine.
They've canned the magazine. For those who don't know, Tips and Tricks is a video game magazine that is published by the illustrious Larry Flint of Hustler fame.
Yeah, Larry Flint Productions or Publications?
Publications.
Okay.
And I had the pleasure of working... for Tips and Tricks for about 4 years before I got into video game development. So that was, and you were saying before the show, which I didn't even think about, but yeah, you know what? Like, that's the longest job that I've had so far.
Yeah. So I have not had a job for 4 years ever.
It was, I got to tell you, you know what? It's, they, especially for a video game magazine, they paid really well.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Wow.
And okay. You know what? And I could totally say this because the thing's canned now, but you know, the really sweet thing was is that on top of our salary, at least at the time, I don't know, they may have stopped that at some point. They may have realized, wow, we're really giving them a lot of money. But, you know, we were able to do freelance work for the magazine that we were writing for full time and get more money.
You could freelance for the magazine you were already employed
yeah,
for?
Yeah, dude, it was totally sweet. It was so sweet. I was getting like 1.5 times my salary that way.
Okay.
Nice.
Right on. I'm going to hope that you make more in your current job, but I don't know now that you're talking it up.
You know what? I'll give you a hint. I don't.
Okay. So we know that they're getting dissolved. And the funny thing is, and you know, when you read an article on the internet, you can't really verify how true it is. But Joystick was making it out to sound like they sent these letters trying to plan, like, they were sending letters out while people were at E3, but they sort of missed the date or something.
Well, I don't know. I mean, obviously that sounds very sensationalist. I will say though that I don't know if their method of firing was necessarily malicious. Although they do have a reputation for very, very abruptly deciding just to can magazines wholesale.
It's just saying Larry Flynt Publications in general.
Yes, they've done that in the past. In fact, they even had a reputation. There was a rumor going around for a while I was there, that, you know, old, you know, fire, like, magazines get canned in threes, you know, because you guys may not know this, but, you know, Larry Flynt Publications.
Oh, he's got tons, like 30, 40, 50.
They have,
I don't know,
well, not like 50, but around the time that I was there, like 20 some magazines.
That's a lot.
You know, some of which were actually not pornographic.
I know that the bulk of their portfolio is.
Yes, yes, it was. But, you know, I always thought it was kind of funny, right? Because, like, Tips and Tricks, you know, like, kind of sounds porno but isn't. Yeah. And then they had another magazine called Hot Boat, which, again, sounds porno but isn't. And, you know, they also published this magazine called Big Brother, which was, you know, very popular and was about...
And definitely was porno.
And stuff. And, no, that was also not pornographic. Although I'm sure that they tried to, you know, make it as pornographic as they could.
Okay, so... What, do we have any possible insight into this?
You know what? I wish that I kind of, like, still talked to the guys there. One thing that I thought was really interesting was that a few months ago, they had a new editor-in-chief. And this is really shocking because the previous editor-in-chief had been there for, I don't even know how many years. It must have been more than 10 years, like, forever. And it was really like it was his magazine, you know, like, it was, that was his thing, you know, like, he made all the decisions. And I thought that it was, it was a huge surprise to see that, okay, well, now they're bringing on this other guy, and the guy who was editor-in-chief, you know, not editor-in-chief anymore.
He was probably just the cleaner. Probably came in knowing that they were going to run the can.
No. Actually, it was even worse, because there's this guy, he goes by the moniker The Game Doctor. Uh-huh. And, you know, he's this old school guy from the old school game press who, you know, at least in those circles was very, very well known. And, you know, he used to, I think he was an editor or he used to write for, you know, the old, like, Video Games and Computer Entertainment many, many years ago, which actually also was published by LFP. And the interesting thing is that, you know, they brought him on. So he's like, I don't know, in a way, he's like kind of like a, you know, video game press legend. And they totally, it must be worse for him than anybody else, right? Because he just started, sounds like he was there for a few months, and then they just said, okay, guys, it's over.
So you think maybe they brought in new people to try and fix it, and they just failed and said, all right, we're going to give up?
I think that is what happened. I mean, I know that while I was there, you know, obviously to keep a magazine afloat, you have to make sales, and you have to sell copies. And I know that we had issues to varying degrees of making sales and copies, although at times also we really, really sold very, very well. We were actually, at one point, we were the second best most profitable magazine there, only second to Hustler. And I thought it was kind of sad because Larry Flynt himself in an interview was like, we published this computer game magazine that's, you know, the number two seller. And, like, he didn't even seem to know, like, what we wrote about, right? He's, like, so far detached from the day-to-day operation.
Yeah, well, you know, he's busy with other things.
I'm sure he is.
All right. Well, we'll be back and talk about some other video game topics after the break, including Manhunt.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
Once again, we're back. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. And we were talking about tips and tricks during the last segment and how they're sort of getting dissolved. And
yes.
You know, as a member of the video game press, I find that sort of thing interesting. It's not so much video game related, but I mean, it's interesting how some things happen. All of a sudden, you're just without the job. And if there was some sort of explanation or like... or need for one, I guess I would have found it more interesting. But
that's what I left off.
Magazines anymore.
When we ran, well, there's that. What I was about to say was when we ran into the break was that we were having money problems, right? And so I was actually surprised in a way that the magazine lasted as long as it did, because it's called Tips and Tricks. It was actually originally an offshoot of Video Games Magazine. You know, it's like, you know how they, like, take sitcoms and one part of the sitcom just becomes a whole other sitcom?
Yeah.
Well, that's what Tips and Tricks was. Tips and Tricks was a section in Video Games Magazine that became its own magazine because they said, oh, wow, you know what? People will buy a magazine that's filled with tips and tricks.
Yeah.
Even though
like
I didn't think that was...
book.
Exactly. Even though I didn't think that was the best part about it. And I have other opinions about other things that I won't get into now. But basically, I think what happened was with the popularity of, the internet,
Yeah.
You can get pretty much any kind of code you want without having to buy something.
Except the Unlock All Tracks Guitar Hero 2 code, which I know exists because it was in the EB Games tournament, but I can't find it anywhere online. That's my interjection, sorry.
Anyway, one thing that, we tried to do at that magazine, at least when I was there, was actually try to publish codes that you couldn't find anywhere else. And every once in a while, we were able to do that. I just think that the volume that we could provide that service with was, not that great. And the other thing, too, is that, once you publish it,
it's on the internet.
Then everyone knows about it, and it's on the internet, and all that stuff.
And
so,
you know that you can just get it next week.
You press up,
plus,
up, down, down.
On top of that,
right.
You're probably not going to think, well, this magazine has anything special. You're just going to know to avoid it because you can get it on the internet. And I mean, all magazines have trouble, but that one, like I've been thinking for a long time, I can't believe it even still exists.
Yes, so you could say that it was a long ways coming in a way, because a lot of the service that it was providing to readers was, a bit antiquated.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's why I'm not terribly surprised, but whatever. If there was actually something about planning for them to be at E3 and then canning them, I don't even know why you would even send them to E3 then, right? Because it costs money, but...
I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah,
it sounds like...
I'm hoping that was just a joke.
Yeah. You know what, though? There's something that you just reminded me of that I'm going to rant for a little bit about.
Yeah?
Because I was thinking, one of my biggest criticisms of... not only a lot of the strategy guides that we published in that magazine, but the ones that, strategy guides that are published in other video game magazines, which doesn't happen too much now, and just strategy books in general, is that in America, they are done to a very, very, very slapdash level of quality. They're kind of like, you can just tell that there's not a lot of time put into them.
I agree.
A lot of
that.
Them are more like walkthroughs. They're like, oh, here's a screenshot. Okay, go get the yellow key. Here's another screenshot. And then put the yellow key in the yellow door. And, and then jump off the cliff or whatever. And it's like, that's great. I'd probably do all these things and, maybe get stuck on, 3 points out of this whole process that was, mostly linear. And so I think that part of that might have contributed to it, because it's very easy just to do a strategy guide, and if you're not really like kind of cognizant of what a player's needs are specifically, then you just do this in the slipshod way and you just do it and it's done and it just looks like everything else and nobody pays attention. right? On the other hand, if you look at Japanese strategy guidebooks, I don't know if you guys have ever seen one. I don't know if any of you listeners out there have ever seen one, but it's incredible. It's like, I don't know how they do this.
I've seen some of the Japanese literature. Like when you go into an Asian bookstore, they have a whole section on video game related stuff.
Right.
And they'll have, I mean, they'll just have art books, right? That's what I look at because I don't understand the Japanese.
Right.
But you can certainly see that the level of attention and quality that they put into basically all the materials.
The level of detail.
Three steps above.
Yeah. And not just the materials, but the level of like effort and detail and quality that goes into these strategy guidebooks in Japan is absolutely astounding. I mean, first of all, just like you said, they're actually visually, they have their own design language, which is incredible. I mean, you can see how much thought was put into it.
And they might even hard bound them.
And they might even do that. And there's just so much more data, so much more information. It really feels like when you buy something like that, I mean, I've bought a few that, you know, even though I couldn't read 80% of it, you know, it's just like you feel like you're getting so much for your money. And I just find it so interesting that in America, basically all our strategy guides are crap.
Well, I mean, you could say that pretty much about any Japanese product versus American product, right?
Well, there, I don't know, maybe.
You
may have a point there about something.
Yeah, I think that in general they put more quality and effort into pretty much everything, but I guess that's a topic for another radio show, perhaps. But yeah, like if you do ever have a chance, Mr. Listener, take a trip over to your local Asian bookstore and look for the video game section, and you'll notice they just have a lot of cool crap, put it that way. And I never walk into any store in America and expect to find cool video game related literature. On the off chance that like maybe there's a Halo novel or something that gets released, right? But aside from that, you get nothing. The Zelda, the new Twilight Princess game, had a really cool, the outside of the strategy guide looked really cool. The inside was
nice.
I don't know. Well, it was the same as all the other stuff. And I'm sure if you're looking for a strategy guide, then it was effective. I've always said that strategy guides were a horrible thing and you shouldn't get them. But it's different when you get a Japanese one. It's not even a strategy guide. Like, it'll just be fan stuff that you want to have. And like, I remember the Street Fighter books.
Right.
Artwork everywhere and storylines and all these different things. So I see your point. That's what I'm trying to say. I said we were going to talk about Manhunt, though. I want to shift gears here. This is something that we didn't really...
Segway.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned this show at all, but it was important. It was our whole show last week, and we were talking about how in England, basically, now they can't sell the game because they didn't rate it. And in America, then, they gave it an adults-only rating, which essentially says it's banned in America, too. Except,
yep.
Again, in sort of this slipshod side sleazy way,
well,
where it's really not illegal to sell, it's just no one will sell it, so
well,
we're making the rule
it's
for
not
you.
That it's not just that stores won't sell it. Sony and Nintendo, it's their policy to not allow AO games to be released on their systems.
Yeah, they won't even
really?
License it.
Yep, they will not even let them make the game.
Okay, so what happened now? Are they sticking with their AO guns or what?
No, they can't.
Well, Rockstar right
they put
now
it on hold.
Has officially, they've delayed the game and they're not going to produce the game anymore currently.
Now, Rich, didn't you
really?
Just play Manhunt this week for the first time?
I played Manhunt this last week for the first time. And it was actually it was a good game overall. Like the production, like you said, is really good. But like I just don't understand what could be in Manhunt 2 that's not in Manhunt 1 that makes people go this crazy, that go, no, we have to ban this game. This has to be AO. This is terrible.
You know what it is?
Because there's some crazy stuff.
I think
stuff.
I know what it is.
You kill someone with crazy stuff in Manhunt.
You kill someone with AIDS. That's what it is.
No, I think what it is, and I'm just purely speculating, obviously, but it's. I think the whole thing with, you're actually making a motion with your hand.
No, but
and
it's
people
the
PS2 are making...
version, too, is rated
what?
AO in Manhunt. There's... The Manhunt 2 is coming out on PlayStation 2.
Oh yeah, we weren't over this
Wii.
Before. I don't know what.
So
then I don't know what it is.
Just the controls. I'm sure that's part of it for the
Wii
version.
No, you know what it is? It's the mentality of everything that the ESRB is getting flack from everyone, and so they have to take this stand.
Mm-hmm.
And they're deciding to instead of retroactively change the rating like they did with Grand Theft Auto 3, call it adults only after it was released. For maybe not everybody remembers like
the whole hot coffee.
It wasn't Grand Theft Auto 3, but San Andreas. they rated that adults only after it was already released, so therefore it got taken off of a bunch of shelves because
that was crazy.
You know, it was AO now and companies didn't want to sell it.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I think it may be political once again, because I think back when the first Manhunt came out, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that it was released with too much fanfare, really.
Well, it wasn't, but people did make a big stink of it because it was so violent. But that's what the M rating is for.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And like a lot of people point out, it's like you see all that stuff in movies, and to be honest, it's way more graphic.
Right. But here's my point. ESRB gets Manhunt from one the first time to evaluate, right?
Yeah.
And you know, nobody knows nothing about it. So they're like, okay, well, it looks like it's pretty violent. Okay, we'll slap an M on it. Okay, second time around, Manhunt 2. Now there's this precedent set. Now these organizations are writing letters to the ESRB. Oh, watch out. Here's this game that you're going to get, and you should keep kids away from it. So now all this attention is there that wasn't there before.
I think we're in the same camp here. Something's fishy, and we'll be back to talk about it after the break.
Welcome back, folks. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And I'm Alon.
And I'm Rich.
And you know what? I just realized that I've actually finally sat down, calmed down enough to sit down and do a show for like the first time in like 3 months.
I saw that before we started, and I was going to bring it up. And then
you are sitting.
I'm usually, for everybody out there who can't see in here, which is everybody, I'm usually way too antsy to sit down, so I don't. But today I'm sitting down.
Naturally excitable. Maybe it's because I gave you a donut.
You know what? The donut did weigh rather heavily in my stomach.
Yeah.
That perhaps could have contributed to the sitting down.
All right. So before we continue here, I want to remind everybody about uat.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology. You can go there and learn more about them. They're pretty cool, and they make the show happen. So we appreciate that. We were talking about tips and tricks. We were talking about PAX. We were talking about Manhunt. Rich finally got the opportunity to play Manhunt.
I did.
And brought up a very good point that really, I mean, it's about as violent as a video game can be. I don't know how else,
I don't know what else they could do unless there's like a 360 title with next-gen graphics. Like, they can't make it that much worse.
You can have more blood, right? I mean, maybe there's like extra guts coming out, like, instead of like one heart coming out, like, I mean, there's two hearts coming out of the guy.
You stab people in the eyeballs, like, you cut their heads off, you see their spines.
Yeah,
it
like,
feels
you do
like
some
you're
crazy
in a movie.
Stuff.
Like,
that's pretty sick.
Like, you have like a hatchet and you hit them and like knock them down on the knees, and then you literally hold their head and hack at their neck 3 times and cut their head off. And then you can throw that head at other people. It doesn't get much worse than that. I mean, from what I could possibly conceive.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of much. It's weird because you watch a movie and you're like, wow, that's pretty gross. And then you watch another movie like Ichi the Killer. I don't know if anyone's seen that movie. Have you seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Ichi the Killer, dude. Yes. I watched it during the day with my friends in a lit room, and it still was freaked out at the end of that movie.
Worse than Audition? You ever seen Audition?
I've not seen Audition.
That thing still gives me nightmares.
Ichi the Killer is pretty much the height of violence in a movie.
Dude, but then other people are like, Ichi the Killer is nothing. You should see this movie or this movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's different, you know, varieties of violence, right? Like Audition, like, it's not so much like, you know, I don't think it's like the movie you're saying, but it's just, it's so disgusting and evil and ugh.
Yeah. All right. Well, you should get a hold of that Ichi the Killer sometime and check it out, Ara.
All right. Well, likewise.
And, you know, be prepared not to sleep for a week. So, but you're right. Like, Manhunt, I don't know what else they could do, and I think it's certainly politically motivated. Just because of the attention they're getting, mm-hmm. and they
clearly
to make
clearly politically motivated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Rockstar has said too that they made Manhunt 2, you know, similar to the first one and on track on what they think an M-rated game would be. And they've made a lot of M-rated games.
Yeah.
They kind of know what. The
so it sort of
are.
It spawns the question: is it okay for? I mean, I guess it would even be expected, so it has to be okay, but. How far can the ESRB go in changing the way they rate a game? Like, if we have a game that's you know, has this level of violence in it and is rated as such, as mature. And then someone makes a game with similar, you know, occurrences in it or similar activities. Could they then rate that differently, and for what reasons? And over time, opinions change, and it's supposed to represent the public opinion of standards and whatever. That changes, right? So games nowadays that are teen would have been mature back in the day. Mortal Kombat 2 was a big, huge deal when it came out, and it was the first game to get rated, and then all of a sudden, you know, people don't care too much about it. But Manhunt 2, uh-oh. So anyway, we've got a caller, Pen15, who we mentioned on the show way too much, has called in. You're on the air, Chatterbox.
I just want to say that the most violent thing in Manhunt, the original, spoiler for those who don't want it spoiled, is
okay,
that
the game's like 8 years old. Come on.
Well, you know, some people do care. Is that at the end you get a chainsaw, and you actually rev up the chainsaw, and you know, you actually chainsaw down the middle of the person's body from the top of their head to their groin.
That's the worst thing? Man, yeah. I heard about this already. That's like old news.
Well, that doesn't sound so bad to me. I mean,
I mean, he was saying the cutting off the head part was the worst, and I was like, no, I think those chains are pretty.
No, I mean, I think it's the production. Yeah. It's not that you're just hacking off the head. It's that you're hacking at it three times. Like, oh, I didn't get through the spine. Oh, do it again and again.
No, wait, don't you have to, like, but with that chainsaw, don't you have to, like, kind of, like, you know, like, move it around the groin a little bit or something like that?
Nah, it just automatically does it.
No, okay.
All right, let me remind you, though, that, you know, Nintendo's refusing to license the game. That's AO. So is Sony. And Nintendo allowed, I don't know if they endorsed it, but they certainly allowed and licensed the Hori chainsaw controller, which was painted to have bloodstains all over it.
That's totally sweet, dude.
For the Resident Evil 4 game on the GameCube. So.
But that was rated mature.
Yeah, it was rated mature. You're supposed to hold this controller, which is literally shaped like a chainsaw.
Yeah, but that's Japan. They would,
No, it came out here.
It came out here?
Yeah, you could go buy it at GameStop.
No way.
Yeah, and it had blood stains painted right on it. So, like...
Wow, I didn't know that came out here.
Yeah, they think it's okay to release this blood on it that you're holding in your hand and you're pretending like... And then there's that... They had a... Hori also made a samurai sword controller.
Yes, these, I remember that one.
And they're trying to say that Manhunt 2 shouldn't be allowed. I don't think it's because of the motion, which we already sort of established anyway, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Penn, for calling in. Much appreciated.
Mr. 15.
Yeah, I think it's good to mention that, like, all these things have happened, and, you know, it's not causing any heads to roll these days. Pun intended there.
Except for professional wrestlers.
Yeah. Well, that's real life, though. All right, we've only got a couple minutes left. One last thing that I wanted to talk about, aside from reminding people that they should email us if they are interested in being part of the Penny Arcade Expo Chatterbox Treasure Box. Also, by the way, I'm doing another event. We're going to have another game show style event, which is a Penny Arcade one. It's Penny Arcade endorsed. It's not a Chatterbox
secrets thing.
But I'll be hosting it on Sunday, right before the last Penny Arcade Expo or Penny Arcade session. So like Gabe and Tycho do their thing on Sunday, and we're going to do it 11:30 to 1. Right before that. It's going to be kick-ass. So
the secrets.
Keep an eye on the program, yes. Secret. At least for now. I don't know when we're going to announce it. But send us an email, alon@chatterboxgameshow.com, if you want to be in it, and if you have any ideas for how we should determine or why we should accept you.
Maybe you should just tell us why you think that we should select you for this high honor.
It would be a good start, and then we'll figure out how to actually select the last person. So I want to talk about gaming as addiction. I think we have about a minute.
All right, perfect amount of time to talk about this.
All right, because there's an article that apparently the doctors, the American Medical Association, a bunch of people want it, but then they're being told, you know what, go back to the drawing board.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
And yet I play Oblivion obsessively, and I don't even bother turning off the console in the middle of the day.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting to me is, like, okay, nicotine, addictive, it's a chemical, changes your brain.
Yes.
A game, it's just something you like doing. People like doing all sorts of things, and anything can become addictive.
Well, there's such a thing as, yes, there's such a thing as something being psychologically addictive without it being, you know...
Chemically addictive.
Chemically, exactly.
All right. Well, we have to go. As addicting as this program is, we will be back
next
week.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.
KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.